Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Chris Anderson. Today, we look at a topic that seems so easy for some and quite elusive to others, that being true happiness. And it's interesting that an article which appeared on the website ChristianHeadlines.com cited a statistic which appeared in a New York Times article, actually, that real per capita income has more than tripled since the late 1950s, but the percentage of people saying they're very happy has, if anything, slightly declined.
That's true, Brandon, and I actually read the same article, and you know, what's interesting to note is that we may be better off, in some respects than previous generations when it comes to finances and certain areas of social stability, yet the experience, as reported by many, is that we are overall not happier, and this article addresses that.
When we're looking at the concept of happiness, why is it that for some it does seem so easy, when for others happiness seems just difficult to achieve?
Well, Brandon, I want you to think about what the statistic is showing. So again, the real capita income has tripled since the late 1950s. And even if we account for the inflation, so we have to make sure we have that in there, that still leaves a sizable increase in overall income. So as much as we'd probably all like to prove wrong the old adage that money can't buy happiness, I think the fact remains that some of the most unhappy people that we see tend to have money. So it definitely proves that money is not the answer to everything in regards to bringing happiness. So definitely this is such a good topic for us to address today, for sure.
Now, I'm sure some would be saying that they find it hard to believe that the opposite is automatically true, that the happiest people have little money.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, living in poverty itself is not what actually allows for greater happiness. So we have to try to move away from this money-happiness connection to really understand happiness. And Brandon, I've done a couple of segments, as you know, from an area that means a lot to me, and that's being in a very rural, financially impoverished area of Jamaica where some of my happiest times of my life have been spent, and the anticipation for me just builds as I get closer to being able to visit that area again. But what makes this so special for me, and is also written about in this article, is that people that report the most satisfaction in life, which they correlate with higher levels of happiness, are those who have very rich and healthy relationships. It's in these relationships that people find stability, and it's through these relationships that Christ works. And Proverbs 30, verse 8 states, "Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Now, interestingly enough, the first part of that verse is a request that God keeps falsehood and lies away, and then, of course, it goes right into the heart of the matter. Living only for riches and being completely impoverished are both difficult ends of a spectrum with respect to overall happiness.
The major question here now from most people is, well, how do we balance it out? How do we not be overly focused on gaining financial riches, but also not falsely believe that if we're in poverty, we should be fully content with that state?
Exactly. You know, that is a danger. We have to be careful of that one as well. And quite honestly, I believe it starts with having gratefulness for the blessings that we do have. Gratitude frees us up to shift our focus away from the negative and start to use what we have to build on a relationship first and foremost with Christ, and then see that what we do have are blessings from Him. That particular relationship with God will be the one that sustains us, the ones that actually lasts. We'll see at various times in our lives, people will be put there in our paths, which will provide experiences and relationships for us to help us be happier during times of difficulty. But really, Brandon, we should also balance out our expectations. You know, I work with so many people in my line of work, particularly young people, that are under the false belief that they should be happy all the time. And as a matter of fact, just this week, I was meeting with an amazing young man who used those exact words to me. He said, "Chris, I just can't figure out why I am not happy all the time." And the reality is, we won't be happy all the time. We need to be careful not to confuse our joy as Christians, in other words, that eternal perspective with who we are in Christ and the promise that we have of being with Him someday. We got to be careful we don't confuse that with what we define as present-day happiness. In other words, we need to know that there will be other emotions that are not only part of life, but they're a significant part of being Christian. And I think it's safe to say that Jesus was not always happy, particularly when he was going through the pain and suffering he endured for us. But taking the steps to be grateful and build lasting, healthy, God-honoring relationships with others will ultimately be what increases our happiness. And honestly to say also, just Jesus was focused on the joy that he had as who he was as the Son of God, and ultimately he got that joy, even though he went through horrible things, in his identity and also what he had to look forward to.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Chris Anderson.